Hi, my name is Sage, and you're listening to Ink Ink.
This is episode 2 of a 4-part series on tattoos.
The last episode was on the history of tattoos all over the world, but today, we're connecting the dots between culture and ink. How does one's culture affect their views on tattoos? Do techniques and styles differ between cultures? All of that will be covered in today's episode of Ink Ink with me, Sage. Let's start off with the basics. Culture can be defined as the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or other social group. Very complex. To put it simply,
all things are cultural.
That's Dr. David Lane, who can also be heard in episode 1. Let's jump right in to see the relationship between tattoos and Japanese culture. In episode 1, it was established that there was a strong stigma based around tattoos in Japan. But why is that? Dr. Yamada talked about Confucianism.
Yes, because of Confucianism influence, tattooing was negatively perceived.
Yamada says one of Confucianism's teachings is essentially to never mark or harm your body because it is a gift from your parents. It's a sign of respect and is cultural code. Since tattoos are a form of marking the body, they became stigmatized. Now that's not to say that Confucianism was the sole reason for stigmatization. The Yakuza also contributed to this as well. The Yakuza was a huge crime syndicate which rose up in the early 17th century. Since the Yakuza were heavily tattooed, anyone with heavy tattoos would have been associated with them, striking fear into the common people.
It's not a colorful tattoo we are, seeing nowadays. Only black ink was used.
However, as time changes, so do the views of the citizens of Japan.
You can see changing attitude toward tattoos depending on the people in Japan. There are two types of tattoo design, you can see in Japan. And one is called a traditional Japanese tattoo, means I don't know if you have seen, Japanese style, but it's, so-called full body tattoo. The whole body is considered in a canvas, right? So traditional tattoo master tattooed, whole. It could be, just in a back or in maybe arm, but it's supposed to be the whole in a body. And the other one, this is actually a new one, influenced by, Western culture, called a smaller scale, a one-point tattoo.
The introduction of the one-point tattoo has been fairly recent. Because it is so small, it can easily be concealed. So what helped with the acceptance of tattoos in Japan?
Yeah, I think, Japanese, especially young people, they learn, from a Western culture, to liberalize themselves. They enjoy freedom. So, they consider tattoo as a sign of self-expression. So, they don't have to hide, right? Just part of their identity. So, they started to value that. It's part of their identity.
While it seems that Western influence has increased social acceptance of tattoos in Japan, the same cannot be said for Africa.
The whole stigmatized views of tattoos really emerge from a Western context.
You just heard Tiffany Barber, an assistant professor of Africana Studies at the University of Delaware.
So Africa is vast and it contains an incredibly diverse array of people, cultures, and languages. So their tattoo practices also vary.
Seeing how Africa is such a big continent, Barbara gave an example of a cultural technique.
So for instance, the Copts, which are an ethno-religious group in northeastern Africa that trace their ancestry to Egypt, use tattoos in this way. Coptic tattoos often consist of 3 lines, 3 dots, and 2 elements reflecting the Trinity, typically associated with Christian iconography. And beyond that symbolism, the tools used during this period also had meaning in terms of the number of needles and their assumed relationship to things like luck and good fortune.
The Coptic cross is a symbol which can be seen in other cultures of Africa.
Within this group, the Copts, many have the Coptic cross tattoo on the inside of their right arm, and the Coptic cross is also used widely within Ethiopian and Eritrean churches today. So you see how certain techniques and practices are moving across the north and northeastern region of Africa, and that can be said for other parts of the continent as well.
Like the Coptic cross, elements of African cultures have also been spread to other continents through the African diaspora.
What we know as the transatlantic slave trade, as well as the East African slave trade, gave rise to this diaspora and their forced displacement of Africans from the continent. And these ideas and origin points are contested and constantly being revised. There's lots of conversation about this concept, but the term is also used to signal solidarity across racial lines for Black folks in different geographic contexts.
In the diaspora, there's a symbol that represents an idea of retaining one's culture.
So there's a word in the Akan language of Ghana, and the word is called Sankofa, and that translates roughly as reach back and get it. It means to return, to go fetch, to seek and take. This concept energizes a significant portion of Black diasporic thought, which is geared toward recovering the knowledges and cultural practices that have been lost and from which certain folks in the Black diaspora were severed during the slave trade, the effects of which are ongoing in our daily lives now. The Asante Adinkra symbol represents the Sankofa principle, and the symbol is typically takes the form of either a bird with its head turned backwards, taking an egg off of its back, or as a stylized heart shape. So you'll see this symbol in tattoo form. You'll see ankhs, which are culturally seen to symbolize eternal life, taken from Egyptian hieroglyphs. You'll see Black power fists and other symbols that, for Black folks in the diaspora, have a relationship to lost histories as well as radical forms of political consciousness.
Which brings us to the U.S. Around the time of the Black Power movement was the tattoo renaissance, a time when tattoos had a big breakthrough. But what was the perception of tattoos before that time? Here to speak on his experience of how generation impacted his views on tattoos is my grandfather. I had to reach out to my grandparents through FaceTime, and they have the noisiest birds.
Well, first of all, I'm an old man, so it all depends on what the tattoos are and where they are. There are a lot of very tasteful tattoos. I have grown to respect that, but there are also a lot of tattoos, people who cover their whole bodies with them, and you know, to me, that's not pleasing to me. I'll say that. My generation, tattoos were not something that most people had, and especially women. And today, that's absolutely not the case. So.
My grandmother also had something to say.
I used to not like tattoos, but now I like some of them. I don't like the whole arm, shoulder, neck, face. But nice, tasteful tattoos are fine. They weren't popular when we were growing up, and even when we were older, except for the military, Navy guys, that probably did affect what I think about tattoos and why I didn't like them or didn't appreciate them.
Moving forward to after the Renaissance, we have Ray. Ray is 55 years old and is currently a hairdresser.
Well, I love tattoos. I've got probably a total of 20 now. I think that when I got my first tattoo, which was about 30 years ago, it was a little more frowned upon than it is, of course, today. When we're going back 30 years, I think that it was still a little bit more taboo. You didn't see them quite as often. You know, and there was also an association that people thought, like, only certain type of people got tattoos, like, you know, people that were not always on the up and up or in gangs or, you know, criminals or whatever. They used tattoos to kind of symbolize what they were doing.
Nick Shalino is a radio host at Delaware Public Media and a quote-unquote senior millennial.
My generation, a lot of my friends started getting tattoos maybe around high school and shortly after high school. And I always thought they were cool, but it wasn't necessarily something I was interested in until later in life. I think a lot of the culture around tattoos from my specific friend group sort of comes from the type of music that a lot of people I hang out with listen to. I think punk rock sort of brought out a lot of tattoo culture, and that's sort of where a lot of my friends started getting them, like early on, I mean. And I think just in general, I mean, you brought up the generation as a whole, it's just sort of seeped into the mainstream over the years.
My name is Carlos Rodriguez, the third.
That's my cousin Kit.
I like to let it come naturally. I don't want to be on stage and forced to produce.
He's also a millennial, however, not quite as senior as Nick.
I think if people handle the process right, they go through the design process, not in a hasty fashion, it can look very nice when it's well done. But I think too often tattoos are a representation of lower socioeconomic status. So I've grown up around the look, I've seen the look, I have friends with tattoos, I'm familiar with the look and the culture surrounding it.
So what do today's teens think of tattoos? I interviewed a couple of my classmates, Tori and Jabari, to see what they thought.
Well, I feel that, like, I don't have a bad, like, thought about tattoos. I feel like they're cool as long as you, like the tattoo that you're getting and, like, you approve and all that. And then, like, sometimes some tattoos are, like, inappropriate in some ways, sort of. Like, someone could get, like, curse words or something for no reason. And, like, an inappropriate phrase in some way. I could, like, offend someone, so, like, yeah.
I think tattoos are cool and they're a good way to show art, but I don't like them when they're, like, generic and everyone has the same one. But also, you need to be careful when you get one in case you ever have to go in hiding or the Witness Protection Program, because that is a good way to identify you, because you need to remember, they're always on your body forever. And I feel like if you like tattoos, that's great. If you don't, then that's great too. But I don't know if I'd ever get one. I don't know.
Did you notice how gender wasn't mentioned at all by today's teens on their opinions with tattoos? That's because today in the US, gender isn't as huge of an issue as it used to be. In ancient Egypt, most people who got tattoos were women. But Tiffany Barber says during the time of the tattoo renaissance in the US, women were left out of the conversation. My grandparents said,
tattoos were not something that most people had, especially women.
Today, people of any gender can get tattoos, which is one of the beauties of acceptance over time. Even though we've had a breakthrough of tattoos being inclusive of all genders, society still has its stigmas. While employers may seem to be loosening their reins on hiring those with tattoos, people are still wary of where on their body they can and can't get tattooed.
I'm a little bit nervous. I want to get a tattoo on the side of my head, but I'm bald. So in the event that I would ever have to cover it, I don't really have any hair to grow so that you wouldn't be able to see it.
Although tattoos are much more visible in the US now, there are still societal standards held with tattoos. Overall, different cultures have different perspectives with relationships and tattoos. One thing we can most definitely take away from today's episode is
tattooing moves and differs across histories and regions.
Thank you for listening to Ink Ink with me, Sage. Catch us later for the next episode, Tracing the Path, where we talk about what it takes to become a tattoo artist.